This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. O God, the maker and redeemer of all believers, grant to the faithful departed the unsearchable benefits of the passion of your Son, that on the day of his appearing they may be manifested as your children, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please be seated. Well, appropriately, I begin by saying, good morning, saints. It has been a long time since we have been able to have the prayer books in the pews, let alone actually pick them up. So today we're going to pick them up. If you would go into the pew where you are seated, and the red book there is the Book of Common Prayer. It's been so long you probably don't remember, but maybe you do. And open the red Book of Common Prayer to page 862. And as we have done in many years past and haven't been able to do for some time, I want to remind us of two things as we begin today's reflection. And the first is the question and answer that is the third from the bottom of the page on 862. It is the answer to the question, what is the communion of saints? And if you'll read that together with me. The communion of saints is the whole family of God, the living and the dead, those whom we love and those whom we hurt, bound together in Christ by sacrament, prayer, and praise. There are a couple of things I want to point out in that definition. Bound together in sacrament, prayer, and praise. I know the pandemic has made it difficult for us to gather a lot, and still for some who have to join us virtually because of their compromised health situation. But it does require us to find a way that we can continue to gather together, bound together in sacrament, prayer, and praise. It reminds me of our call to stick together. And it reminds me also, in the line above it, that the communion of saints also, those whom we love and those whom we hurt. And by deduction, and those who hurt us. We have a charism, I think, in our particular church, but really in all churches, in the way Jesus would have it, is that we come together, whether we are hurt or hurting, but we gather. And it is that communion, that gathering together, that can bring us healing. To separate ourselves from the body doesn't really allow for that to happen. So hang on to that. Then look at the third from the top of the page. Why do we pray for the dead? Let's read that one together. We pray for them because we still hold them in our love, and because we trust that in God's presence, those who have chosen to serve him will grow in his love until they see him as he is. Will grow in his love. I think a lot of times we don't think about continued growth after we die. And it is very clear here and in the scriptures that there is continued spiritual growth and learning that we are called to have. Now, when you take that definition of the communion of saints to begin with, and link it with this idea that we continue to grow in his love, I conclude that therefore those things that we have left unresolved on earth, guess what? We get to try to resolve them in heaven. A wise spiritual director once told me, I've told you several of this times before, that I was having trouble in a particular relationship, and I really didn't care if I ever saw that person again. And my spiritual director said, "Marty, you might as well try to work it out here, because if you don't, guess what? You're going to have all eternity to try to figure it out." Now, this is not to say that all things are reconcilable on the face of this earth, but it doesn't diminish the call for us to try. So take all of that and consider the fact that we, as we have done in the past, are combining these two feast days. These martyrs and saints that they got to a point where they couldn't name them all, they couldn't put them all with a separate day on the calendar, so okay, we're going to cover all the saints. But with that definition, it's an understanding of who the saints are, and we're in that definition. But then you get to All Souls Day, which is All Faithful Departed, as we officially call it, and that has to do with all of those who have gone before us again, remembering all those who have died that we might not even know who they are. We celebrate the two feast days, All Saints first and then All Faithful Departed second, but I think there is some logic, especially in terms of our particular situation, that maybe we need to consider those who have died first before we start to consider our call to sainthood secondly. Think of that for a minute. Especially in terms of this gospel. We hear this gospel every 3 years. We hear it again in its entirety when we are in a different season of the church year in Lent, when we are hearing about what's called the Book of Signs in John's Gospel. And if you remember, in that Book of Signs, there are all of these miracles. It starts with the multiplication of the water into wine at the wedding feast of Cana, Jesus' first miracle. And it sort of goes up in incredible nature as to what Jesus does with these miracles, and it comes and concludes and reaches its apex in this particular miracle, raising Lazarus from the dead. That this Jesus just doesn't have power over nature, changing a substance from water into wine. That he doesn't just have the ability to multiply bread. That he doesn't just have the ability to calm the seas. He's got this power over everything. And this story shows us that he has power even over death. Now, what's important about that in relation to this feast day? If you remember the whole story, Jesus doesn't come right away, does he? He waits. And he waits 4 days before he shows up. And that's with intentionality. Because even back in Jesus' day, there were those occasions where they would have someone who was comatose and think that that person was dead. And then they would poof, come back, and wow. Jesus wants to make it clear, this guy is dead. Such that it smells, and it smells really bad. Because Jesus wants to make it clear that this is what is going on, that the power that God has is even over death. Now, for us, as we grieve the loss of loved ones recently and, you know, way back when, I know there is that part of us that says, well, Jesus, why didn't that happen for us? And there's a lot of questions we're going to have for God when we finally get up there and continue to grow on that journey and have understanding. But there is some understanding from this miracle that we can get for our own current lives. we haven't been able to use a lot of the campus, huh, because of the pandemic. And yesterday, I was doing a training for the lay Eucharistic ministers. Some churches call them lay Eucharistic visitors. And we haven't had the parish hall open very much. And when I went in there yesterday morning, guess what? There was a stench. It was stale. How do you get rid of a stale odor in a room? You open up the doors and you let the wind blow through. What happens in the story today? They open up the tomb and Lazarus comes out. Metaphorically, there is something about us getting to a point where when there is a stench, that's when God's going to show up. There's a lot of smelly things in our lives these days, aren't there? There's a lot of things that we wish God would have shown up sooner, but God's going to show up. I don't know how. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know God's going to show up, and I want to do whatever I can to open up the doors and let that stench dissipate. Perhaps that's what our call is right now. I took a gander at our bulletin, and I took a gander at the bulletin from right before this pandemic started. And on the back of that bulletin, there are the listing of all the people who are in leadership positions in ministry in this church. And we haven't really updated it well. That's one of our things to do. But I did a count up of the people who have either died, people who have moved away, and many of them, because they have rearranged their priorities because of COVID and wanted to move closer to family, and we all get that. Family comes first. And then we have had those who, because of illness or sickness, can no longer do what they used to do. Do you know how many of those positions have gone away? 18. 18. As we start to open the doors, and as we start to get a sweet aroma again with the ministry in this place, well, guess what? God is calling each one of us to look to the ways that God might be calling us to do what we can do. Because of those things and because of other people's financial situations, the vestry already knows that our budgetary situation for next year, we're going to be start talking about stewardship very soon, that it's going to be a difficult balancing act for us, especially as we hopefully come out the other end of this pandemic and try to kick off all of those wonderful programs that are such a charism and a part of us. But not only is it going to require stewardship of our talent and time, it will require the stewardship of our treasure. So these are things, as we think about All Saints' Day, are so important to us. But take comfort in that message, that it's when it seems that all hope is lost, when it seems like there is nothing else we can do, when it starts to get really smelly, that's when God shows up. I can't wait till God shows up again, because he's already here. In reflecting on this particular passage, John Claypool writes these lines. He's trying to stick up for Martha and Mary, and he writes, "Martha isn't closing the door on hope. She's saying, 'I wish you had come as a healer, but even though you've come, there is still, at least in the corner of my mind, the realization that you might be able to do something even after death. Faith is not our power over God to get God to do things our way. Faith is an openness to the mysterious power of God that refuses to set limits on any situation that lends itself to despair. Faith is openness to what the Incredible One might do. Faith is trust, openness. Faith is a willingness and a flexibility. It is not Aladdin's lamp to get us what we want and simply be the servant of our ego. And so when she says, even now after he's dead, you have such a connection with God that even God might give you the power to do something here. In other words, Jesus speaks the word of hope that her openness to faith had begun to give him the opportunity to do what he did. We are celebrating at the 11:45 service this morning the baptism for 19-year-old Ava Seiler. Lance, who plays in the Unplugged band, it's his daughter. And Ava came to be after starting to attend the Unplugged service during these latter days, and God was doing something within her. And she just showed up and said, I want to be baptized. So at 11:45, as she continues her formation in Episcopal 101, Ava will be baptized. This is why this Paschal candle burns before us, as a reminder to us that this light is not only Christ there, but remember, it is passed on to us to share with the world. Isn't it interesting that there was this huge solar flare that happened, and it is happening right now, that somehow the power of the sun is enabling people to see the beauty of what that solar flare creates in ways they have never seen it before. We're a little too far south at St. Joseph's to be able to see that effect of the solar flare. There's a greater light that we can shine. So if you feel it getting stinky, hang in there. We're going to do what we can, and God's going to show up. Amen.